Good morning. I remember a shiur about 10 years ago was produced commercially, and it started with my saying that I have guests this morning. I think then they were from Dallas, Texas. So they're going to be part of another shiur now. Dallas, Texas are now Caesarea. Dr. and Mrs. Josh Reddick over there, old friends, young but long-time friends, I mean, and they were part of this Jerusalem College for Adults a long, long time ago, about 20 years ago, when we were meeting then in the Miklat in Yeshurun. There's a time to be nostalgic. All right, Parashat Vayeshev. We'll learn a few psukim. Number one, Vayelchu Echov L'Ot Et Tzon Aviyem B'Shechem. Yosef has had his dreams. There's a rift in the family. They're jealous of him. They now even despise Yosef. They may even be afraid of him. He seems to be taking on the sense of the one who will rule over them. They don't like that. Meanwhile, the brothers went, and the English translation is down at the bottom. Now his brothers went to pasture their father's flock in Shechem. Vayomi Yisrael al Yosef, Yisrael said to Yosef, Halo achecho roin b'Shechem, your brothers are grazing the cattle. They have the cattle out to pasture in Shechem. L'cho govesh l'chacho aleim, I will send you to them. I'd like you to go see them. Vayomalo, and Yosef's response is hineni. By the way, it's an unusual response. There isn't peace between Yosef and his brothers. Going off to see them would not be top on his agenda. Except, of course, for the fact that here is the request that comes from his father, and a request that comes from his father is going to be on it, mitzvah of kibud av. Vayomalo, Yaakov said to him, by the way, we always have to try and figure out, when Yaakov has two names, Yaakov and Yisrael, why is it sometimes that he's called Yaakov and why sometimes he's called Yisrael? Just in passing, I have a feeling over here, Vayomi Yisrael, that the name Yisrael is used. And the name Yisrael usually speaks of the majesty of the Jewish people. And in fact, in many places in Tanakh, when we talk about the elite of the Jewish people, that's Yisrael. And Yaakov represents the masses. But it also signifies, Yisrael signifies moments of greatness. I think what the Torah wants us to be conscious of at this point is, it seems like a very simple errand that Yaakov is sending Yosef on, but you know what this simple errand is going to turn into? It's the beginning, this is it, the first step in the great process of creating the Jewish people. He's unaware of it. Yaakov was unaware of it, but Torah knows that this is the moment. A great deal is going to happen, but everything is going to be leading in the direction of the establishment of the Jewish people. It will need Yosef to be sold to his brothers, to go down to Egypt, to be there, and we'll talk about the interpreting of the dreams at the end of the seder, the butler and the baker. His family is going to come down in time of famine, they're going to be enslaved. Everything that ultimately leads to the Jewish people being taken out of Egypt, let my people go, and then they arrive at Sinai. So Vayomi Yisrael, this is an extremely significant statement that he's making. He's not aware of how significant this is, how meaningful it is. He's unaware of the fact that he is now starting a process that for all intents and purposes, I think we can say with absolute certainty, continues until this very day. Mm-hmm. So it's not Vayom Yaakov. Vayom Yisrael. Yisrael is about to be built. Well, he says, Lechno, the Eyet Shlom Achecho, he wants to hear how your brother's doing. That Shlom Hatzon, he wants to know how the sheep are doing.
Well, weren't they there every day?
Huh?
Weren't they out there every day?
No. This is far, they are most probably right now in one of two places. Either Yaakov and the rest of the family who are at home are either in Be'er Sheva or in Hebron. You see, I understand your question is because when we finished off last week's shiur, we were at Shechem, and they were at Shechem. But they've journeyed. They left Shechem. They are now in... He finally, at the end of last week, said where he comes to his father, to Yitzchak in Be'er Sheva. Yitzchak dies. When they go travel to Shechem to graze and pasture the cattle, that's a long distance from home. And therefore, it's not that they got up in the morning and they went out to Shechem. They had gone off for a number of months up there, maybe for the whole, I don't know, whatever season of the year it is. And they're grazing there. So he says, please go see the peace of the your brothers and how are the sheep, and bring me back word. And he sent him from the valley of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. And here there is, of course, the great Rashi that already clues us in. May Emek Hebron from the valley of Hebron. Everybody knows that Hebron is on a mountain. Hebron is not in a valley. What does it mean, May Emek Hebron? So there the Rashi, immediately to the left, the first column at the end, May Emek Hebron, Vahalo Hebron, Vahar, Rashi, yes, but Hebron is on a mountain. Shenema, as it says, Vayalu Banegev, when the Meraglim, the spies, came into Eretz, so they went up in the Negev Ab Hebron, Ella, Rashi says, Torah uses the word May Emek Hebron from the depths of the council that was decided on and told to those who are in Hebron, to Avram and to Yitzhak. Ella May Eitza Amuko Shel Otso Tzadik, from the deep counsel of that Tzadik HaKavur B'Hebron, the righteous one who is buried in Hebron. The Kayim HaShenem Al Avram, to fulfill that which was said to Avram, Bein HaBetorim, at the covenant, the treaty between the pieces. Ki Ger Yiyeh Zarecho, your seed are going to be strangers in a foreign land. So what I say is already indicated to us that this is something great is taking place, something extremely significant for all of Jewish history, and I see it in the name Vayomer Yisrael, that Yisrael said. Rashi is telling us that's the meaning of they sent him from the valley of Hebron. Hebron is on a mountain, not in a valley. But there are deep secrets, all that was planned already by God and told to Avram. Anyway, he went. He came to Shechem. Now what is understood here is that he comes to Shechem and his brothers aren't there. He's most probably looking high and low for them, and he doesn't find them. The fact is that Yosef had all the reason in the world at this point to say, listen, you know, I tried. Pa, I went to Shechem, I looked all over, I started at the Kasba and I went all over. I looked and I didn't find them, I don't know where they are. Now, what would have happened if that's how the story would have ended? You know what would have happened? It would seem that God's divine plan, the great design for Jewish history, was aborted. Yosef never got to his brothers, so that's it. We're going to have to, you know, start all over again. What's going to happen now? What's going to happen? Here, The malachim, the angels in heaven, most probably their wings are fluttering. Here it is, Jewish history is beginning in earnest now. And in order for it to take place and everything is to begin, it has to be jump-started by Yosef meeting with his brothers, and they're going to sell him into slavery. But he doesn't find them. He tries to get in touch, you know, and the line is busy. In Nachamul, the line is busy. In Nachamul, the line, he can't. So out of the, I just wanted to use some kind of a term, but I think the term is very apt. Out of the clear blue sky, a man appears. Yes.
Well, there was a famine in the land not too long ago. They would have gone down to Egypt anyway, the whole thing.
We're not going to second guess. But that could have, I'll tell you why. And the Medrash here asks your question, doesn't say the words, you know, ultimately they'd have to go down to Egypt anyway because there's going to be a famine. Oh, it's a Medrash just a few psukim earlier. Yaakov is of course mourning. He's in mourning. He's in confusion. He thinks that he has lost his son. And God says he doesn't realize that what's happening now is, instead of him going down as just another person to Egypt, he's going to be invited down by Paro himself. Instead of Yaakov and Yosef being taken and dragged to Mitzrayim, I'm setting the stage that Yaakov Avinu is going to come to Mitzrayim with great pomp and circumstance. He's not going to go down to Mitzrayim just like anybody else, or much worse than that. He's going to come to Mitzrayim by invitation of Paro and Tzofnas Paneah. Anyway, so it would seem that the whole plan is about to fall apart. And a man finds him. A man found him. And behold, he's wandering in the field. He's lost. And the man asked him, saying, Matavakesh, what are you looking for? Vayomer, and he says, and this is of course powerful, Et achai anochi mevakesh, I seek my brothers. Is there more in this than meets the eye? That he seeks their brotherhood, he seeks their friendship. Hagidonoli, please tell me, Eifo hem roim, where are they grazing the sheep? Vayomer ish, the man said, Nos umizeh, they journeyed from here. They're not here. Kishamati omdim, I heard people say, I heard them say, Neilcho dotoino, let's go to this place called Dotan. Vayelech Yosef, achar echov, Yosef followed his brothers by Yimtseim, and he did indeed find them in Dotan. Now it's extremely important, of course, over here, that this fellow didn't just tell him, Telech yashar yashar, misham tishal, just go straight and there you'll find somebody else who is. This man gave him pretty, pretty good directions, and he was very careful. He said, I heard that they were talking about going to Dotan. Alright. Who needs the story about this man? I mean, here he is, he appears on the scene. I mean, is this really so terribly significant and so important? I mean, when I write my autobiography, and I'm going to write about the, I was on my way to somebody's house and I couldn't find the way, and I stopped and asked somebody, and they did indeed direct me. They did give me directions, the correct directions. Is this really significant in the life of Yaakov and the life of Joseph? This we have to know. I mean, the Torah could simply have said, he came to Dotan, he looked around, and he finally found them in Dotan. Okay, he found them in Dotan. So here is a great, yes.
Now
you can ask. And I think I'm go ahead.
No,
sorry.
No. I have a theological problem.
Oh God! Yes, go ahead.
Yes. No, it's a problem.
Yes.
So the way we're supposed to learn Torah now, according to what I understood you said, is that Hashem is here and the plan is here.
Yes.
And that's the way it is. So every time we have a question down here where we are, if we can't answer it, we can always say that's the way it's supposed to be.
Maybe yes.
Okay. I just wanted to
maybe
know.
Yes.
Okay.
Now what you've done is you have set the stage for the Ramban. There is a great Ramban. Take a look at number 3. Really, just the first paragraph. I don't know if we'll go to the second paragraph. A man found him, he's wandering in the field. Yomar, the Pasuk is saying, ki hu toe min haderech, he had wandered off the path. And he did not know where he should go. He went into the field. Why is he in a field? Because that's where you graze the cattle. So he's going to go through the fields and see if he can find them. Because at a place where there is grazing land, that's where he looked for his brothers. The Yarech HaKatuv Bazer. The Pasuk tells us this whole story. The Ramban is bothered by, what do we need the whole story for? This is such a significant story. He has the directions, and he got the directions. Okay, no, this is significant. So here comes the great answer of the Ramban. There were many reasons that he could have turned around legitimately and gone back home. He looked and he looked and he can't find. And by the way, it would seem that there's really nobody around, because it doesn't say Yosef found a man. The man found him. The man found him. In other words, obviously, if there would have been people there in the field, Yosef would have collared them and said, listen, did you see these 11 fellas, big, tall guys, you know, with their sheep? It means the man found him. This is all very mysterious. He could have gone back home. There was nobody there. I couldn't ask. I didn't know what to do. He suffered everything for the honor of his father. He's going to keep looking and looking, because his father sent him on a mission to find out how his brothers and how the sheep are. And to tell us further, this is the great line of the Ramban that has to become ingrained in your minds and your hearts. Ki hagzeira emes. Hachalitzut sheker. 4 words. Hagzeira emet. God's decree, His design, His plan is truth. Vahacharitzut. All of man's attempts, his diligence, his efforts, all sheker, all falsehood. God's divine plan will not be frustrated. Man, regardless of how big, how powerful, simply will not frustrate God's divine plan. Here it may have seemed to the Malachim in heaven that everything has gone awry. It's all wrong. Yosef is never going to get to the appointed place at the appointed time. You know what? There it is. There's a man there. In other words, God's divine plan needs a mid-course correction. Somebody has to make sure that Yosef is going to get where Yosef has to get to. Zarzachnish, don't get nervous, don't get upset. The Rebbeinu will take care of it. There's a man there. Ramban is also going to explain. Rashi says this man was the angel Gabriel. The angel Gabriel was sent down over there to make sure that everything goes according to plan. Because God's gezeira, His divine decree, that He told Avram ki ger yezarecha, that your seed are going to be enslaved in a foreign land, it's going to happen. and afterwards they're going to march out to freedom with great spiritual wealth. And they're finally going to come to Sinai. It's all going to take place. Chevre, God is telling the Malachim, don't get so hot under the wings. Don't get worried about it. Don't get worried about it. He's going to make it. He's going to make it. He's going to get to the appointed place. The Ramban is going to say, that doesn't really have to be an angel. God uses many people in many different ways. If we think back in our own lives, you know, somebody someplace over there gave us just a little good advice, you understand? A little good advice. And you know, never happened to me, but I can imagine somebody would have 60 years ago, you understand, told me to invest in IBM and has given me some money to invest in IBM. I was a little boy then. That would have been a pretty good shtickle advice, and maybe it was the Rebbein Shalom who put him there in order to give me that advice. There are people who have sort of popped up at the right moment in our lives. Every one of us has a good story like that. We also have bad stories like that. But there's a divine plan, and you can't frustrate God's divine plan. Hagzeh ha'emes, God's decree is true. V'hacharitzut, all of man's attempts, sheker, falsehood. I am convinced that everything that has happened here for the last 100 years is part of an awesome divine plan. And there are all sorts of people that are trying to frustrate it. And I don't know, most probably the Rebbein Shalom is crying and laughing. He's laughing at those who want to frustrate these plans. And then he's crying that Nebuch, he's laughing at the Chveis Ahmadinejad. I don't know how you pronounce his name, is that right? Yamach Shemaynik, that's the name. And he thinks he's going to destroy. He's going to destroy the state of Israel. We have to be worried about it, by the way. We have to be worried about it. We have to do something. We have to do whatever is possible that's within our power. There's no question about it. But ultimately, God didn't bring us back over here that we should be destroyed. That's not so. Anyway, Hagzeiro Emes Vacharitzut Sheke Ki Zimein Lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mora Derech Shalomi Dato L'Havio B'Yadam. Now, it's interesting how to read this. God prepared a guide, a Mora Derech. God prepared a guide, Shalomi Dato, without his knowledge. Without whose knowledge? Without Yosef's knowledge? Maybe it's without the guide's knowledge. The guide doesn't know that he's God's guide to guide Yosef to where he's supposed to go. Wait. You, it's amazing. All of your questions just lead me from one thing to the next. That's what our rabbis meant when they said, this is what our rabbis meant when they said that these people were angels. Not that he has to be an angel. He's a messenger. It can be some Knani or Prezi that's standing there, and he's doing God's bidding. He's doing it. Shalom al-chino ha-yakol ha-sipur ha-zeh, because this whole story was not for naught. Lahudienu ki atzak Hashem hi tokum. God's counsel is that which will ultimately prevail and be fulfilled. Utsu eitzu v'tufar. There are those who take counsel against it, and it shall be destroyed, because ultimately atzak Hashem hi tokum. Well, so you know, if Shechem was wiped out, let's assume that what you're saying is true. Yes, Shechem was wiped out. So what it means is, therefore, there was nobody to ask. So therefore, God had to bring somebody there. But I would guess that they returned and they repopulated it. Shechem has a very important place in Jewish history in general. All right, this is the Ramban. The next Chamban will leave. Let's turn over to the other side. I'm going to take you now. I'm going to take you now from the beginning of the Sedra to the end of the Sedra. I think that's a sweep. Beginning, end. And it's going to be very, it will be very fascinating. Yosef has gone through a great deal. He's been sold into slavery. He has already twice been thrown into prison. He's now in prison for the second time because of the accusation that he attempted to violate the wife of Potiphar. Of course, complete lie. And there he is. He finds himself in the dungeon. In the dungeon. Talking about, at this time already, he was 17 when he was sold into slavery. This is 13 years later. He's 30 years old. For 13 years, he's been living away from home, from family, in the midst of a completely foreign and alien culture. And Yosef maintains his identity, his dignity, his strength of character, his morality. He's unbelievable. Yosef is unbelievable. It's not for naught that he is called Yosef HaTzadik. Yosef HaTzadik. I remember there was a great shiur that Rav Soloveitchik had given on the difference between Yehuda and Yosef. And by the way, in this Sedra, Yehuda is the one who leaves from his brothers, and there's the whole incident on the road with Tamar. In a sense, Yehuda is seduced by Tamar, but Yosef is not by the wife of Potiphar. And by the way, there too, with regard to Yehuda, Hagzeira Emes v'Hachaditzus Sheker, Moshiach is to be born. The Mashiach is to be born. Right? And that's Peretz and Zorach. Alright. The twins that are born from Tamar. Yosef is able to withstand the seductive measures taken by her. So here we are. He's in prison. The baker and the butler of Paro have also been imprisoned. And there he is with them in prison. We don't have to read. At the beginning it says, after these things, the butler of the king of Egypt sinned, and the baker to their master, king of Egypt. Paro got angry, threw them into jail. Anyway, it says that they both dreamt dreams one night, and they got up in the morning extremely, extremely upset, agitated. And Yosef sees in the morning that there's something has happened here during the night. So he asks them, tell me, what's wrong? What happened? You see where it's underlined? Pasuk Tet. V'yisaper sar hamashkim et chalomo liYosef. The sar hamashkim, the butler, and there's the English translation is below. I would never have translated it. The chamberlain, I don't know, the chamberlain of the cupbearers recounted his dream to Joseph and said to him, in my dream, hinei gefen lefonai. Bechaloni, in my dream, hinei gefen before. Behold, there was a grapevine in front of me. Uba gefen shlosha sorigim, on this gefen, on this grapevine, there were three tendrils. What a tendril is. I don't know what a tendril is. I should have looked it up, but I know what sarigim are. Sarigim are vines or branches, and what else? Vihi kiporachat ol tamitza hitshilu ashkaloteha anavim. On the grapevine there were three tendrils, and it was as though it budded. Its blossoms bloomed, and its clusters ripened into grapes. And then he says, Pharaoh's cup was in my hand. He dreams that Pharaoh's cup, the cup of Pharaoh biyadi, where kachatan of him, I took the grapes, and I squeeze them. I didn't know what if they squeeze or squoze. So they saved me the translation. Press them. Press them into the cup. Press them into the cup. And I placed the cup on Pharaoh's palm. Vayomer Yosef. Yosef says to him, Ze pitrono. This is the interpretation of the dream. Those three tendrils represent 3 days. In another 3 days, Yisa Paro et Roshecho, Paro is going to lift, raise your head, and he's going to return you. Rashiv Chal Kanecho, he's going to return you to your position. Venatata Kos Paro Biyado, and you're going to give the cup of Paro into his hand. Kamishpat Hadishon, as was your former practice, Asher Yita Mashkeyu, when you used to give him to drink. Before I go to the next pasuk, which is going to be the crux of our problem over here, I saw yesterday in a shiur from the Talmud Rebbe. The Talmud Rebbe brings that the Rabbi Akiva Eger was one of the greats of about 200 years ago. Rabbi Akiva Eger, one of the great Talmudists of the last 200 years, in a letter to his son. He discusses this pasuk. He asks, why did we need the two words Kam Mishpat Harishon? That you will serve Paro as you had done before. All the pasuk had to say is, Yosef tells him, you will serve again. All he had to tell him was, Baut Shloshes Yomim, Paro is going to lift your head and return you to your position, the Notato Coast. Paro biyodo, and you will give the coast, the cup of Paro in his hand. The rest of the pasuk is unnecessary. Kam mishpat harishon, like you had originally done when you were his butler. Who needs that? The whole part of the pasuk. He says something very beautiful. He says, you know, Yosef knows what's troubling the butler. Why was he thrown into prison? Why was he under sentence of death? And it's only because there's going to be an amnesty on the day of Paro's birthday that he is going to be freed. He saw the hangman before him already, because there was a fly in a cup of wine that he brought to Paro. A fly in the cup. So Yosef understands that this man, even if he gets his job back, he is going to be, for the rest of his life, a nervous wreck. It's a job that's going to make him sick. He's going to be terrified. It might happen again. And if it happens again, I'm certainly going to pay for it with my life. So you know what Yosef tells him? And here, you'll see in a moment the point that I want to make. Yosef says to him, you don't have to worry about there ever being a fly in your cup. You know how the fly got there? God put the fly there. He wanted you to end up in prison, here with me, part of a divine plan. God doesn't plan on putting any more flies in your cups. You've done your divine job. So therefore he tells him, don't be worried, go about your business as you normally did. You are going to be Kamishpat Harishon. It's going to be as though you're starting all over again, as you always did. Do you understand what's happened now to Yosef? Yosef, at the beginning of the Sedra, 13 years earlier, is totally unaware of the fact that there's a man out in the field placed there by God to make sure that he's going to meet his appointment with destiny. 13 years later, you know what Yosef knows? He can tell when a fly is doing God's bidding. His ability to perceive what's taking place around him has become so carefully honed and so sharpened. He knows already. No question about it in his mind. That fly didn't just fly in there. that fly was quite delicately placed there by one of God's agents. That's the way it worked. And therefore he says, you don't have to worry. God doesn't plan to do it again. Because you've already done what you have to do.
Then why would you ask him to speak relative
to the
get
that? And why didn't
he? It's uncanny. Every one of you today, you know, I started letting you ask questions last week, and I'm permitting, we haven't asked questions for 25 years in this class, and here I'm mellowing, you understand, I'm mellowing, and you set the stage precisely for the next part of the year. If he knows that there's a divine plan to get him out of here,
yeah,
and that's why the fly was in the cup, why does he say the next pasuk? The next pasuk. Let's go to the next pasuk. And here, how to read this pasuk is so fascinating. Ki in zechartani. Ki in zechartani. There's one way to read it, and that's the wrong way.
Oh.
The way to read it that we would normally read it, the word ki'im very often is used as a condition. All of this is going to happen only if, because ki'im, it's all dependent on, you know what it's all dependent on? Let's read it this incorrect way. Ki'im zechartani, you will read. Kiyim zechartani itcha, you will remember me with you, kasher yitavlach, when it will be good for you, vasitano imadi chesed, and you will please do, that's also incorrect, I'm just translating it the way we would think it should be translated, vasitano imadi chesed, and you shall please do with me kindness, vizkartani el paro, and remember me to Paro, v'hotzeitani menabayit hazeh, get me out of here.
Yeah.
Simple reading of this pasuk would leave us with the impression that Yosef is really saying, listen, tit for tat, I gave you the good news, you're getting out, you have a job to do now. Your job is, get me out of here. That's not the correct way to read the pasuk, because the Yosef knows that it's coming. He knows that he's going to get out. He's not going to depend on this Sar HaMashkin, on this Chamberlain. He's not going to depend on him. Rashi is the one who's first troubled by it, and therefore, oh, I didn't put the Rashi here. I'll read the Rashi to you. No, I'm on the second side, and this is a different Rashi. And I don't always remember. I'll read the Rashi to you. Ki im zechartani itcha. This means, Rashi says, asher im zechartani itcha. Rashi says, when you will be remembered. When you will be remembered. It's not conditioned ki im, only if. Ki in could be read as only if, I mean, which means you're going to get free, you're getting out of here, and you're getting your job back, but it's conditional on you have to get me out of here. That's not how Rashi learns it. Rashi says kasher, that im over here, and that is ki in, can also be understood as kasher, when you will be remembered. You should know I will be remembered with you, and you're going, I'm reading it already the way it should be, you are going to do a kindness for me. I'll go one step further. You know what Yosef is subtly telling him? You? You're going to forget me. The moment they let you out of prison, you know what Yosef is going to be? The past. The end of the parsha is.
So, what's the purpose of the fly? What good is the fly if the butler's going to forget about it anyway?
What good is the fly? So now you also prepared me for the next. Ki in zechartani, you will remember me. You're going to be forced into a position to remember me, and whether you like it or not, you're going to do a kindness for me. You know what's going to happen? There's going to come a moment at which you'll have to remember me. And you know when that moment is going to come? Paro has gathered all of the wise men of his realm. He's had a dream, and he doesn't know the interpretation. And all of a sudden, the Sarah Moskum, oy vey, there is somebody who can do it. Yosef is telling him,
there will be a day.
He's not asking him, you will remember me. Vasita, against your Goyish will, you're going to do chesed for me. You are going to be the agent. There was a fly that's one agent, and you're the next agent. You're going to be there at the right place, at the right time. Do you understand the journey that Yosef has made, intellectually and spiritually? At the beginning of the Sefer, he doesn't know the man, or who the man is. He doesn't even know at the time what the man did for him. By the way, now when he's in prison, and he thinks back to himself, don't we always do this? We go over things in our lives, and then all of a sudden, it strikes us. Oh, if that man wouldn't have approached me 13 years earlier, everything would have been different. That man? Was he really a man? There's nobody around. Here, you. There's nobody in Shechem. Where does this fellow appear from over here? You know where? You know what? You know who that man is? That man's the fly. That man is the fly. And you know what Yosef now knows? That this Sarah Mashkin is going to be true to form. He will walk out of prison and forget anybody who did anything for him. There will be no Hakaras Hatov. There will not be any kind of gratitude. And you know why? I don't think in the ultimate sense Yosef wants to be beholden to the Sarah Mashkin. You know what he wants? Let the Sarah Mashkin forget me. But boy, there's going to be a moment in his life that he's going to be shaken. He's going to be shaken because Paro is already in a desperate state. And when he stands up before Paro, he says, "Es chata'ai ani mazkir hayom, I remember my sins today." What sins is he talking about? Two sins. The sin that he had, for which he had been put in prison, and you know what other sin? I forgot that there's a man who knows how to interpret dreams. Paro shouldn't have had to have any anguish whatsoever. He should have remembered immediately and told him. But no, Yosef doesn't want his taiva. Michael the taivas from the Sarah Mashkin. What he's telling him is, you are going to be the one who's going to do it, whether you like it or not. How does Yosef know that? So first of all, you have to understand, we are learning the Pasuk, in a sense, as Rashi is learning it, but there are clues in the Pasuk, an amazing clue. The Pasuk says, Ki im zechartani, zechartani? It should have said, Tizkereini, you will remember me. And what does it call with you mean? What does it mean? What do you mean? Remember me with you? Remember me with you? Well, I don't know what it means. The Ksav HaKabbalah says, do you know what it is that tips Yosef off? There's a whole part of this dream that he hasn't interpreted. The dream says there are three tendrils. And he's putting the cup on Paro's hand. As far as the Sarah Mashkin is concerned, that's all you need in the dream. He's taking wine and bringing it to Paro. But wait a minute. It says something else over here. It says, Kiporachat also nitsa. It describes the vine. It's like a blossom that buds forth, and I squeeze the wine into the cup. I tell you, don't you ever come to Paro and squeeze grapes into a cup and tell him that it's wine. That's not wine. No, it's not wine. It's not even grape juice. It's not drinkable. It's not edible. There's a whole half of this dream. What's it mean? And by the way, if he's holding the cup in his hand, how do you pull this shtick of using two hands that you need to squeeze this whole cluster of grapes? I mean, you've got to be Houdini to do this.
That's a great question.
It's a great question. I love that. You're right. This is the Ksava Kabbalah. He says there's a whole part of the dream that is not interpreted. And not only is not interpreted, it makes no sense. But Yosef, if he can interpret the part of the dream that deals with the Batla, he can certainly interpret the other part. The other part is about him. It's a message to him. That's why he says, Ki in Zechartani, you're ultimately going to remember me because I was remembered itcha. I was remembered with you in the dream. There's a whole half of the dream that I haven't yet interpreted. You know what that half of the dream is? That half of the dream is not about you. That half of the dream is a divine message to me. And you know what that divine message is? There is somebody or something that is ready to burst forth in blossoming. Something is going to grow here from this prison. And you know what it is? Right now it's imprisoned. The juice is in the grapes, but the juice has to be squeezed out and get that juice out, just like I'm going to be removed from this prison. And you know why I'm going to be removed from this prison? Because Paro needs me. So he's telling him, I don't need you. I don't need you. No, because one of the questions that many in the Mefarshim ask, and really there's a machlokas in Medrashim, that Yosef was condemned. Rashi brings it at the beginning next week, said that he was chastised because it seems as though he depends on this guy, that this guy is going to save him. What are you talking about? So I'm telling you, we'll see right away there. Achaim says it, and the Ksava Kabbalah at great length. And the Ksava Kabbalah is really an amazing thing where he's the one. Where he's the one who says that this, the idea that there's a half of the dream that wasn't interpreted, because that half of the dream is him. Yosef now understands a great deal more than he understood before. He knows why there's a fly. He knows why this butler is here, not for his sake, my sake. He knows that half of the dream is talking about him, and he knows that there's a moment coming of greatness, and that he's going to be sprung from this prison, all because Paro is going to call him back. He's going to emerge from prison, not like a guy, I understand, they give him a suit and they give him a little suitcase, and he walks out of Sing Sing and doesn't want to see anybody, and maybe the photographers are there and he covers his face with his coat. That's not the way he's coming out of prison. He's coming out of prison with greatness. Then we have to understand one thing. We have to understand those rabbis who condemn him for having said this to the butler, why do they condemn him? So the Ksava Kabbalah says, and I tell you, you'll see right away why I like this. When I saw this, it brought so much back to mind. Who told Yosef that he should share the other half of the dream with the butler?
The butler.
Who's Wait. No. Yosef has interpreted half the dream for the butler, not the other half. In this Pasukim Zechartani, he's telling him, I know that I've been mentioned with you in this dream, and that I'm going to get out of here too, which means that he told the butler the meaning of the other half of the dream. The Ksava Kabbalah says, that message, and this is my interpretation of the Ksava Kabbalah, that message was a message only for Yosef. He had no business sharing that half of the dream, which was only for him. He had no business sharing that with the butler, and therefore he had to remain another 2 years in prison. I'll tell you why that struck an important chord with me. Oh, yeah, I remember hearing all sorts of drushes in, over the years in Parshas Toldos, how Rivka has to connive and lie and cheat in order to make sure that Yaakov is going to get the blessings instead of Esau. And then, you know, if you want a real contemporary kind of sermon, here it is. Why couldn't Rivka communicate with her husband directly? Why couldn't Rivka go in there and tell him, listen, Yitzchak, you're making a big mistake. You're making a big mistake. This is not... you think this Esav is your tachkala over here? This is Hachuchik. This is the guy who's going to carry on the great promise of the house of Avram. And Yitzchak, what are you talking about? This is like a Russian illusion, the Hagonish. The one you should give it to is Yaakov. So therefore, they come up with all sorts of... There were problems in communication between Rivka and Yitzchak, you understand. When she had first met him and she saw this man coming in the field, she slides off the camel, she's struck by his sickness. You know, you can make all sorts of tehillim. And you can turn this great relationship between Yitzchak and Rivka into some kind of a nightmare that they just didn't communicate with one another. All right. By the way, when she wanted to communicate, oh boy, did she know how to communicate. At the end of the seder, she says, if Yaakov is going to marry one of the girls over here in the neighborhood, my life isn't worth 2 cents. Yitzchak, you make sure he gets out of here and goes to Paddan Aram and finds a wife over there. Oh, she knows how to communicate. So what's going on in the whole seder? The seder says that Yitzchak loves Esav. Ohav loved Esav, and Rivka Heves, she loves Yaakov. So I once explained, and now you understand why I like the Ksava Kabbalah. She's having difficulty in her pregnancy. She goes to the house of God, and she is told that two great historic forces are struggling within her. They're twins there, and they are going to struggle until the end of time, until one is going to wax stronger than the other. But you know what the pasuk says there? Vayomer Hashem lo. God said to her. Do you know what Rivka understands? She can never share this with Yitzchak. This was only told to her. If she could have shared it, she would have told him, listen, Yitzchak, I got good news and I got bad news. We have twins. One of them is going to be a tzaddik and one of them is going to be a rasha. She never tells that to him. You know why she never tells it? Because she has been prohibited from telling it. She's, by Yom Hashem, Lord God said to her, by the way, he doesn't need my approval. But God was right. He was absolutely right. Do you know what God accomplished by making sure that Rivka doesn't tell? He saves Klal Yisrael. Because Yitzchak is going to love Esav. And therefore Esav is going to have a relationship with him. And at two moments at which Yaakov could have been destroyed and everything ended, it's because of that relationship that it doesn't end. At the end of Parshas told us, it says that after he steals the brachos from him. So it says that the Esav wanted to kill him, and he said, "When Avel Ovi, when my father will die, I will kill him." He cannot kill him now. At the moment of his greatest anger, he can't. Yikru may Avel Ovi, the days of mourning for my father will come, and then I will kill him. Oh boy, a lot is going to happen until that. And then in the next seder in Parshas Vayetzi, it says that as Yaakov flees, so Esav sends Eliphaz. Eliphaz, he sends Eliphaz after Uncle Yaakov with a mission. Kill Uncle Yaakov. And Rashi there, the great Rashi, Rashi says that he catches up with him. And he's ready to run him through. Aval kivan shegadal b'cheiko sheyitzchok, because he grew up in the lap of Yitzchok, moshach yado, he withdraws his hand. He can't kill Yaakov, because Eliphaz, just like his father Esav, also was under the influence of Yitzchok. Do you understand? By Rivka not telling Yitzchok, you know what she accomplishes? She saves Yaakov's life twice. And that's why by Yomer Hashem, Lord, God tells Rivka. And that's not information that anybody else has to be privy to. By Yomer Hashem, Lord, God said to her. I believe that's what the Ksav HaKabbalah is saying over here. There are two parts to the dream. This butler doesn't have a clue what the dream means. There's one part addressed to him, and there's another part addressed to you. And you should not have told him the meaning of the second half of the dream. Because we have to explain why our rabbis say that beginning of next set is going to be by Yehini Kate Shematayim Yamin, and it came at the end of 2 years that Paro dreams. Why was there a 2 year wait after the dreams of the butler and the baker? Yosef shouldn't have done that. He shouldn't have told him. But it certainly does not mean, Pasuk does not mean that Yosef is saying that, yeah, you know, I'm giving you good news, but this is all on condition that you're going to spring me out of this place. That's not what he meant at all. Ki im zechartani itcha, I have been mentioned, I've been remembered with you in that dream. And the fact is, at the end is going to be, you are going to do chesed for me, whether you like it or not. You're going to have to take me out. Let's take a quick look. Oh, wait. So wait a minute. Somebody mentioned the baker.
Yeah.
Somebody mentioned the baker. That was a good... You didn't ask this, but I'll make believe that you asked it. In this whole drama, who needs the baker's dream altogether? What does he add to the whole story? Who needs the baker? The Meshachachma, Rav Meir Simcha says brilliantly. Rav Meir Simcha says the following. If it would have been only the dream of the butler, you know, I could have interpreted the dream. I take a chance. Should I tell him? So what? Should I tell him, you know, another 3 days? You know, one of two things. Another 3 days don't hang him, and he'll never be able to come back and complain to me that I didn't interpret it correctly. The other possibility is that another 3 days, you know, he's going to be reinstated. Then he's going to feel indebted to me. He would not have taken it seriously. Do you know why the butler takes it seriously? Because there's another dream. And to the other dream, Yosef makes it quite clear, you're going to be hung. All of a sudden, it now means that the interpretation of the butler's dream is not just a stab in the dark or a guess. Oh, this is somebody who knows exactly what he's talking about. And therefore, when he finally remembers the next week's seder, or is he going to say there is somebody who knows how to interpret dreams? Because, you know, he might have to, if there wouldn't have been the baker, this is my own addition here, if there wouldn't have been the baker, he'd be afraid to say to Paro, you know, there's somebody who knows how to interpret dreams. And what happens if Yosef was just guessing at it, and they'll bring Yosef there, and he doesn't know anything, you know what's going to happen to the butler? They're probably going to hang him. But the butler has absolutely no fear. He says there is somebody that can tell Paro what his dream meant. You know why? Because that was the baker's dream. Well, as usual, there's another hour left to the shiur, so we will leave it for next year, Gesundheit. But the main thing is 13 years, and you know what Yosef has learned? Yosef has learned in 13 years four words: Hagzeira Emes v'Hachaditzut Sheker. The overwhelming and overriding idea of all of these parties is God's will not be frustrated. God has brought back Klal Yisrael Teretz Yisrael to give it to Klal Yisrael. Nobody in the world is going to be able to stand in the way of God's clear divine plan. Chag Sameach.
Chaim. Well, it's still hot.
The butler, the baker, the candlestick maker.
The butler, the baker.
No, don't write that. The decree is true. God's decree is true. Men cannot frustrate it.
Man or men cannot?
Men.
Talk about it. Is the whole album so